Cool. So, I'm going to pray for us actually first before we start. Father, this weekend has been just an amazing time of connecting with you, connecting with one another. And now we prepare to make this connection to the rest of the world, God, to all your people that you created, God, that might not know you yet. And Lord, we want to see the way that you do things, the way that you called us, God. Just like I said in the words of that last song, Lord, it's by grace and grace alone that we even have this relationship with you, that we're able to draw near to you, God. And Lord, let us not forget that. I pray, Lord, for your guidance and your wisdom today, God, that you would speak to each and every single one of us in a way that we can understand, God. Let the words that you speak not return to you void, and you make that promise in your scripture so we know that it's true. So we pray for each and every single one of us that our hearts will be open, that we would receive the message that you have for us, that we would carry it forth into the ends of this world. Lord, we want to glorify you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't think it's any secret. You know, I love some of the stuff that we got to talk about this weekend. You know, I get really excited just thinking about it. I know it doesn't really show in my face. I think I've got something wrong where I can't really express these things very well. But, you know, it's really exciting to talk about. You know, it's hard to actually share the good news about Jesus, though, for some reason. You know, and I'm sure as we were moving closer and closer to this time, you know, you heard it last night. You know, one of the guys here was just sharing about how he really struggled to share Jesus with people. And I guess he could kind of, you know, almost see why. And I wonder if that's the same for all of us. It's really strange if you really think about it, because he's the greatest thing to ever happen. You know, he's the greatest thing to ever happen in any of our lives. He's the greatest thing to happen all throughout history. And yet we really struggle to get this point across and to share the greatest thing. Maybe it's partly because for some reason we don't really know how to tell people about Jesus. And we don't really find out either. I don't know if you've experienced that in your Christian walk after you come to know the Lord. No one's like, okay, now this is what you have to do. You know, follow these steps and then you'll successfully win converts to Jesus. You know, there's no program like that. And so I kind of want to acknowledge right now that evangelism is a bit of a source of anxiety for some of us here. You know, and I don't know if you would agree with that, that when you think about evangelizing to people, you get a little bit terrified or you just don't want to do it. You know, I remember when I came to know the Lord, I was working full-time at a credit card company. I wasn't a pastor, you know, all my life or anything like that. And I was going from the lowest point in my life to suddenly feeling like, man, I have purpose. Like, I actually have purpose to my existence. My existence makes sense, and it's not to chase out, you know, credit card debt or anything like that. There's actually purpose. And I couldn't help but be changed by that. Things started changing. My life was suddenly completely new. And so I felt this great burden all of a sudden to share with the people at my workplace, to share with my friends at work. And you know, my workplace, it was a bit of a startup, and so we all joined the workplace at the same time. For some of us, it was our first job, so we got really close really quick. And so for that change to come, you know, I immediately thought of like two or three people that I considered to be my closest friends at work. I started thinking, oh man, this is going to be really awesome when they come to know the Lord. You know, like the prospect of them coming to know the Lord, having their lives change as much as mine was, because, you know, I knew that their lives were pretty empty too, right? And so I knew because I had been spending so much time with them and I was doing all the silly things that they were doing, that was part of my life before I met the Lord. Now, I remember really distinctly a couple of conversations. One that started with me talking about how, hey man, I became a Christian. And it ended with my workmate saying, that's great as long as you don't try to convert me. You know, so it was like very, very straightforward. He just wanted to let me know, like, this is a guy that I was like, you know, trying to rap with in the car on the way to work all the time. And suddenly he's like, what the heck, you know, just take a step back. And the other one came as I was reading the Bible during a break, you know, and sitting outside reading the Bible. My friend comes along, he's like, what are you reading? And I tell him, oh, it's the Bible. And then immediately this look of like sheer terror is on his face. But I started trying to convince him to read it as well. And he reads like a paragraph and then he's like, yeah, you know, it's not for me. And then I didn't really know how to progress from there. What do you say to someone that says no? You know, eventually, after a lot of repeated attempts ended in, you know, really similar failures, I started to lose some of that initial bravado that I had. I started losing some of that initial confidence to share with them about Jesus. And then I started feeling really stressed out about what I should say. You know, what do I do next? So how could I convince them to come to church when they didn't even want to talk about faith? They don't want to know about Jesus. And I put so much pressure on myself trying to figure out, man, what are the clever words that I can use? How can I be more persuasive so that I could be the most convincing version of myself, and then maybe they'll come to church, maybe they'll come to know the Lord. Perhaps you've had similar experiences, you know, in your workplaces, in your schools, in your families, wherever, maybe even in your churches. People start rejecting your attempt at evangelism. You start feeling all this anxiety, which is very real. You're like, oh, you know, I start feeling sick. Maybe you've gone a step further and you don't even want to attempt it anymore. You're just thinking, oh, God will figure it out. You know, like, I'll just take a step back. God's going to figure it out. Or maybe you just have never attempted it. And the thought of it alone already terrifies you because of how they might react or what that might actually end up doing for your friendship with them. What if they stop being my friends? Now, can I say straight off the bat, we're all called to share the good news. I don't know if that's bad news for you. You know, it certainly was back in when I became a Christian. I understand we might get really anxious about that, especially if you've already experienced that rejection. You know, maybe you've experienced rejection of another kind if you've attempted to share other things with people, right? Or maybe you've just never done it before. But it's actually a wonder, if you think about it, that we fear so much. It's actually crazy that we have so much fear about it, because we're all evangelists by nature. We're all evangelists, all of us, every single one of us in this room, we're all evangelists. We love to share about things that we discover, whether it's that new TV show that we're watching that we think is really amazing, that we think all our friends should binge watch 16 hours in a row, or maybe it's good deals that we found that some of our friends are missing out on, or maybe it's some cool gadget that we like using. Think back over the last year. Think back for yourselves. Have you told anyone about a movie that blew your mind? We heard one yesterday, Black Panther. Go watch it. You know, Brendan was really excited about it. What about an app that you downloaded that changed your life? It changed the way that you interact with your phone, with whatever else comes with the app. Maybe you started telling your friends about when avocados finally dipped under $3 again. And you're like, everyone has to know about this. Everyone needs avocados. We're all evangelists to some degree. You know, beyond talking about general interests, as evangelists, if we've encountered the living God, we're called to tell people about Jesus. What Jimmy read to us from 2 Corinthians, you know, I want you guys to keep that chapter open because we're going to refer back to it a few times. We're called Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. The scripture says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And as you let those words sink into your heart, what do you feel? What are the thoughts that immediately run through your head? You are Christ's ambassadors. Now, if I said to you that we have a tendency to overthink evangelism, would you agree? We have a tendency to overthink the actual act of evangelism. What do I mean by overthinking? So consider what I told you about how I tried to evangelize to my workmates back in the day. You know, I struggled because I tried to figure out, how do I convince them about God? How do I convince them first that they're sinners? They're horrible sinners. Everything they do is sin. How do I convince them of that? And then how do I convince them, but God is of great benefit to you? It's like you're handing them poison and then you're handing them an antidote right afterwards, right? Like, you're like, you know, how can I actually tell them about these things? But think about it. Was that really my job? Was it really my job to tell them, hey, actually, everything that you do is sin? You know, you're sinning right now. You're a sinner. Is it your work to convince someone that everything they're doing is sin and you have the answer for them? Like some sort of salesman. You're just knocking at that door. Is that your job? See, when I became a Christian, I could have had a million people in my face telling me all the time that I was doing sin. And I don't know if that would have made any difference in my life. I just don't know. You know, who knows? Deep down, if I think about it, I think I already knew that the way that I was living wasn't right. I think I already knew it. Even as a non-Christian, I think I knew. Because I remember distinctly before coming to know the Lord, I had this recurring thought in my mind. Man, I need to get my life right. I kept thinking that. I need to get my life right. If in our hearts, we're constantly restless because there's this hole in them that we try to fill with substance abuse or relationships or a job or whatever else, and we just can't find rest, we'll probably figure out somewhere along the line, hey, something's not quite right. I just can't actually get that satisfaction. And the Holy Spirit will be at work convicting us of our sins. Saint Augustine once said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." This is one of the long dead Christians that Jimmy loves to read about. You know, and how true it is. I don't read whole books though. I only read quotes. I'm not quite as smart as Jimmy. Now, think for a moment about how you actually came to know Christ. You know, if you guys are considering yourself Christians in this room, think for a moment about how you actually came to know the Lord. I mean, beyond that surface level knowledge of, yeah, I think Jesus exists. You know, I think I know the name of Jesus. But I mean like a real continuing relationship with him. It might be a little bit hard for some of you guys to verbalize how it happened. But what is true is, and we should all agree on this, that we're all saved by grace through faith. Every single one of us in this room is saved by grace through faith. And if you agree with that, then you also agree that the Holy Spirit had to be the one that convicted you of sin. It wasn't your parents, it wasn't your friend or your coworker, it was the Holy Spirit convicting you because you definitely wouldn't recognize it on your own. Who stands up in the middle of the day and just says, "Man, I'm a sinner," you know, without any knowledge of the Holy Spirit? No one does that. So surely you have to agree that you didn't suddenly gather up faith inside of yourself if you can't even convict yourself of sin to start believing in salvation, to start believing that there's something better. No. This faith was a gracious gift given to us by God. It was a gift. In 2 Corinthians, verses 17 to 19 and then 21, it's really illuminating. Okay, so keep your Bible open. Have a read of this. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And then verse 21 reads, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So what does all that mean? God treated Jesus, who had no sin, as a sinner. And through this, Jesus became the one that received all of God's wrath, the penalty of sin. So he hung upon that cross, the righteous one, taking our punishment on behalf of us. So that in Christ, we kind of switch places. You know, we're seen with the righteousness that's rightfully Jesus's. Jesus's righteousness is ours. And that he shoulders all the sin of this world. He takes all of that. And in believing in him, we're given this new and permanent righteous standing before God the Father. It's permanent. It's new. Did you really somehow believe this on your own? No. The grace of God is to reveal it to us and even push us by this faith that he gives us so that we might know him. Whether it was in Sunday school or a friend telling you about Jesus, or it was alone in your room while you just thought about things and you started weeping. It's all by the grace of God. However you came to know the Lord, it's all by the grace of God. So then my question is, why do we suddenly think it'll be any different when we engage in this evangelism ourselves with our coworkers or our friends or whoever? Because we ourselves are coworkers of God. He does the hard yards though. I think quite often discouragement comes when we evangelize because we're hanging so much on the result of evangelism. We think so much about what we desire to happen when we share the good news with someone. And we begin to equate that success or the failure in sharing Jesus with others with our own identities. I don't know if you'll agree with that. We start feeling like this is wrapped up in our identities, whether or not I actually succeed as an evangelist. And then that inevitably leaves us to stake our love for God in that result as well. It inevitably happens, and it's a very slow and strange process that you don't really see coming. But doesn't this kind of smell familiar? Like the staking of everything in this? It's just a suggestion that we just might know better than God about how to run things around here. We just might know better. Like, God, you should be saving this guy right now because you're good. You should be saving him because that's my plan. If I share the good news with my friend, my father, my brother, my son, whoever that I love so much, if you love him so much, you should save him. And that's our plan. Like, we can't help but be like Adam and Eve, reaching for that forbidden fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Because surely we can be like God. And we'd hate to admit it, but it's easier than trusting him. Now, if we really trust him, though, if we believe that God's character is gracious beyond ourselves, beyond measure, and he has kindness beyond anything we can begin to imagine, then suddenly we'll find that our reliance on the result of evangelism disappears. And then we just simply start enjoying finding out what his will is, and then carrying it out, even if that doesn't equate to how we think everything should go. John 4:34 says this. Jesus is saying this to his disciples. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And like Jesus, we find ourselves satisfied in having a heart for what the Father wants, rather than depending on the result of our evangelistic efforts and only really amassing anxiety. We'll find satisfaction. Jesus with the woman at the well wasn't waiting around to figure out, oh man, was I successful in evangelizing to her when I told her about all her husbands and all these people who aren't her husband? You know, he wasn't thinking about that. He was thinking, no, it's the will of the Father, and that's what I'm doing. Back in that workplace that I talked about in the beginning, where I failed so often and so repeatedly in sharing the gospel with my friends, something really strange happened one day. Something really, really weird. Now, I started looking for another job, and this wasn't me running away with my tail between my legs because I was defeated in my great task of evangelism, but I started getting tired of that work. And despite being really qualified, having experience in the field, just wasn't happening. I just wasn't getting any callbacks. You know, if you guys have ever looked for a job and you haven't had any callbacks, you know what that feels like. You're like, is there something wrong with me? Like, did I spell something wrong in my, did I write Young Soon Sanji? Or, you know, did I write my real name? So despite all this, it just wasn't happening. And I had this really strange sense in my heart at that point. This feeling that I think that the Holy Spirit was giving me, that I would actually get another job once someone in my current workplace came to know Jesus. I don't know why I had that thought, but I just knew in my heart that that was from the Holy Spirit. As you know, the problem was that I just didn't know how to do it. And so I felt really stuck, and I was like, man, this is horrible. Like, how do I actually move on from here if I don't know how to share the gospel with these people? I knew the people I wanted to share with. You know, it was my best friends at work. And I knew that I was failing. I knew that they didn't want to talk to me about those things. They eventually didn't want to talk to me at all because I was annoying them too much. One day, though, a coworker comes into the office that I share with my manager. It's this, you know, little glass cubicle that's like around the same size as a stage, and people can look into it. I'm sharing this with my manager, who's Turkish, who's Muslim, and we're just sitting there, and this coworker comes in, and she starts talking to me about her life. I was like, this is unusual, you know, this is a really weird 9 a.m. on a Monday. And within a couple of moments, she just breaks down crying. And I'm sitting there just, I didn't really know what was going on at that point. You know, but this coworker starts explaining to me that she's just addicted to drugs. her life is falling apart. She just didn't know what to do. Now, I didn't know what to do at that point either. But I just did what came natural. I started talking about my own life. And I didn't have the words to express it or anything. But I started talking about my own life and how things had changed. I shared about my old life, part of which she and other coworkers have known, since I was one of the first to, you know, hit the bars with them, one of the last to leave, and she knew that something had changed. But I also got to share about how things had changed, you know, how I was a new creation, that I met God. He made my whole life change. And I couldn't really explain the nitty-gritty of things, like how things like addictions disappeared. But all I could say was that they had, and that God had done something to restructure me or something. The way that I think, the way that I feel, the way that I act, everything had changed. And that's all I could share. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Now, I had trouble articulating things, but what I could show was the testimony of my life. Because that's a little bit easier, isn't it? Like, we know our lives, at least. The testimony of our lives are some of the most compelling and effective evangelistic tools, because they're things that we can actually point to, especially if they actually know us. See, there's new life where there was only death before. And the more I talked about this amazing Jesus who turned my life around, the less I felt like I was just reaching for things to say. Like, what do you do when you want to tell someone about the greatest, most important person in your life? You just talk and talk and talk. You know, people with kids that love their kids, they go on and on about their kids. Even if you're not interested, they just want to talk about it. I could talk about God all day long. So my coworker listened to me and what I had to say, and then at the end of it, we prayed. I think like a week later, I got a call back for a new job that I had applied for, and a little while after that, I started working at this new workplace. And I didn't fully know what came out of that conversation, though. Because I left and, you know, our shifts didn't coincide. So I was like, I wonder what happened. To be honest, I wish I could say I was like Jesus, just like, my food is to do the will of the Father. But I was really anxious. I was really anxious about the result, because I was like, man, I poured out my heart. And that was a really different experience, whether this coworker came to know Christ or not. And so the results started troubling me, rather than making me feel reassured and satisfied that God got the glory, that God was pleased with me already. The amazing thing is God's gracious, even our stumbling. You know, even when I stumble and fall, he's gracious. I ended up receiving an invitation to her baptism. And a while after that, she told me she started a Bible study at that old workplace where I'd failed so many times and different people were attending. So she was succeeding where I was failing. We're Christ's ambassadors, all of us in Christ. We're evangelists. That's our God. You know, what if I didn't hear back for the rest of my life, though? What if she just never told me? Or what if I did hear back and it was horrible? Like, she was like, man, you're an idiot. Like, what are you believing in? You know? But the result is his, and his alone. That gives us so much freedom. The result is actually God's, not ours. He calls us to be his ambassadors and co-workers. He tells us to tell people about him, and then he says, I'll come. I'll figure things out for you. He doesn't allow us to be crushed by this weight of responsibility, but instead he allows us to experience the weight of his glory. But if you're here this morning and you find what we've talked about this weekend to be a little bit peculiar, a little bit weird, and you might even feel a little bit unsure about what I've talked about today, but you feel this like tugging at your heart, then I invite you to find out what that is. You know, ask God if it's him. Find out what he has to say to you. And we really encourage you guys to continue to connect with people around you in the church. Connect with the people of God here and tell them what's happening in your heart. They might be able to talk to you about it. They might be able to pray for you. And they're not going to have the wisest words. Some of them are going to stumble. We're all going to stumble. But God's going to take care of the result. If you've come this weekend with struggles in your heart when it comes to sharing your faith with others, I invite you to turn away from that tendency to overthink things, that prideful thought that we might know best, better than God, about how things should go. We're not results-oriented people, Christians. We're not. Because the best result, the final result, was already had by God. They were nailed at that cross at Calvary. So let go of all that stuff and lay your trust in God. I invite you to pray with me.